The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
You know, when I walked in here, it seemed as though the Lord, it seemed as though I felt the burden of a couple of persons here. And it looked like I could feel it in my heart that there was a lot of burden thrown all over this place. Yeah, I could feel it strong without walking in.
You are my God, you are my God, you are my God.
You are my God, you are my God, you are my God.
Say you are my God.
You are my God, you are my God, you are my God.
Say me you are trust.
Me you are trust, me you are trust, me you are trust.
Say you are my peace.
You are my peace, you are my peace, you are my peace.
Say, you are my peace.
You are my peace.
You are my peace.
You are my
rock.
You are my God. You are my God. You are my God.
Say, you are my hope.
You are my hope. You are my hope. You are my hope.
Say, you are my hope.
You are my hope, you are my hope, you are my hope.
Say you I trust,
see you I trust, see you I trust, see you I trust.
Say you I trust,
see you I trust, see you I trust, see you I trust.
Say you I trust.
See you, I trust. See you, I trust. See you, I trust.
Yes, I'm glad my heart is
calm. I am glad my heart is calm. You are my peace. I can be moved like Zion, see you, my peace. I am glad my heart is calm. You are my peace. I can be bold like Zion, my feet are still.
And I'm restoring the years
you stole in peace. Restoring the years you saw me.
Switch again.
I'm restoring the years you sold in thee. Restoring the years you sold in thee.
Be still and know that I.
Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God.
Yes, when troubles come, Jehovah knows. Jehovah is my peace.
Jehovah knows. Jehovah sees. He's my peace.
Father, let the peace you promised become the reality of this world. Let the peace you promised become the reality of this world and heal every heart and provide solution to everyone. Lift your hands to heaven. Blessed quietness, holy quietness, blessed assurance in my soul. On the stormy sea, Jesus speaks to me, and the billows ceases to roll. Blessed quietness, holy quietness, blessed assurance fills my soul. Upon the stormy sea, Jesus speaks to me, and the billows cease. You see, what you need is just God's instruction. Once he speaks in the midst of the challenge, stay there. Hold on to what he said. Okay? It will calm the storm. It will stop the storm. It will stop the raging sea. It will bring the peace you desire. Blessed quietness, holy quietness, blessed assurance in my soul. On the stormy sea, Jesus speaks to me, and the pillow ceases to roll. I'll do it one more time. Blessed quietness, holy quietness, what assurance that fills my soul. On the stormy sea, my Father speaks to me, and the billows ceases to roll. On the stormy sea, Jesus speaks to me, and the billows ceases to roll. While on the stormy sea, my Daddy speaks to me, and the billows ceases to roar. While in my darkest times, Jesus speaks to me, and the billows
ceases to roar.
You know, there are five people here. You are feeling the things you are in now. You've never been in this kind of mess before. But there is a word from God for you. Listening to that word, get it, hear it. It will calm the storm. It will calm the storm. I didn't plan to do all of this, but I sense it very strong. It will calm. I felt the burden of many people. As in the word session began, I felt the burden of many persons in this place. But it's going to calm the storm. You feel this is your weakest. If you've never been in this one before, but Jesus is going to help you. He will speak to you. In your darkest time, he will bring the word that will lift you out of that which you've been in. On the storm, you see, my Father speaks to me, and the billows ceases to roar. I say, on the storm, you see, there is a burden of depression that is being thrown off. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Bring this peace that you promise. Let it flow to the hearts. Let there be an outburst, an outbreak of joy that will comfort the souls. Bring the healing. Thank you, Father. You bring the healing and grace. Hearts always.
Let's
rap again. You bring the healing. You are the comforter, counselor,
keeper, spirit in our soul and
prayer. You are
all that faith for you. Oh, you love that faith for you.
Father, thank you. Heal these hearts. Bring the healing. Bring the word. Bring the peace. Bring the comfort. Bring the counsel. You know, there are two of you. You got into this whole situation. Your mind is messed up because of a couple of things you exposed yourself to. You read stuffs on the media and all that. And you got your mind messed up. So you are so down. You can't really trace why you are that down. But you just find this heaviness. Now it's going to lift from you. And you will find the peace that only Jesus can offer. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's talk in the Holy Ghost for a moment. Come on, all over this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. So let's be seated. Well, amen. So this, for some of us that didn't come for Thursday service, this should be my first time of seeing you in the month of April. Amen. So, happy new month from me. Hallelujah. Master Mara, welcome back. Hallelujah. Did you miss her? Amen. Glory to God. So, I'll be teaching on what I titled The Epignosis of Christ. Amen. The what? No, that's not big English. Okay. That's not even English in the first place. I just picked that word because I want to drive it home. The epignosis of Christ. The word epignosis is E-P-I-G-N-O-S-I-S. The epignosis of Christ. I tell you what it simply means. It's simply the word knowledge. Okay? But I picked that word epignosis for a reason. You see, the reason is, let me just give you the reason. The reason is because there are about three words used for knowledge in the New Testament Greek. Epignosis is Greek, okay? It's Greek for knowledge. You find words like ginosko, used for knowledge. You find epignosko. A lot of words are used for knowledge. Then you find epignosis. Okay, and I want to address the epignosis of Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. We pray from that place every day. And I'm going to have time today to explain that prayer. We'll pray. You see, I like you to be ready and trust the Lord for light. Amen. Trust the Lord that you will be blessed. Trust the Lord that He will answer your question. Many of you, well, let's continue first. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the epignosis of Him. Okay, that word knowledge in the Greek is the word epignosis. That God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge, in the epignosis of Him. Okay? And so, this is a prayer that Paul began to pray for the Ephesian church. Of course, if you've been in this church for some time, there is hardly any Sunday that will pass and we don't pray from this verse. You have observed it? We pray from here because, as a matter of fact, we learn in the course of this teaching
that this is one of the most important things that any believer needs. It says, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, look at what it says, may give unto you the Spirit. That word Spirit, let me just do some check on the words. The word Spirit is the word pneuma. It's the word pneuma, of course, I've explained that before. Pneuma is P-N-E-U-M-A in the Greek. Now, the word wisdom is the word Sophia or Sophia. You know what people call Sophia? That's what wisdom. So, the give unto you the pneuma of Sophia, the pneuma of the spirit the, or the spirit of wisdom, rather. Now, it now says, and. That word and, you see why I'm doing this now. That word and is the Greek word K-A-I. Kai. That word in this verse is used as a conjunction. Please pay attention. You are not daft. You can understand this. Amen. So, it's used as a conjunction. It's not used as a conjunction. It's used as emphasis. Emphasis. So, it is the spirit of wisdom which is revelation in the knowledge of Him. Do you follow? It's used as emphasis. Okay, so normally and here should appear as a conjunction. But in this verse, it appears as emphasis. So it says, the spirit of wisdom, which is revelation. So what does Paul mean by the spirit of wisdom? Or what does he mean by spiritual wisdom? Spiritual wisdom or the spirit of wisdom will mean revelation in the knowledge of Him. Do you follow? So Paul is not actually asking for two things in this verse. He's not saying that God will give you the spirit of wisdom. One. Secondly, revelation and knowledge of Him. Okay? He's saying that God will give you the spirit of wisdom. What I mean by the spirit of wisdom is revelation in the knowledge of Him. Come on. Do you follow to this point? That word revelation, of course, is the Greek word apokalypsis. You've seen movies. Have you seen any movie called... You've seen movies like that, right? Apokalypsis is the word revelation. It actually means to lay something bare, to make something naked, to lay bare. And in that sense, in the knowledge, now that's now the word epignosis. So that word epignosis means precise, correct knowledge. It means full discernment, full recognition. Right? So what Paul means by the spirit of wisdom is that the knowledge or the full discernment of Christ may be laid bare, may become naked to the believer. So, the revelation, that is apokalypsis, that is the to make something obvious, to lay something bare, okay, in the knowledge, the epignosis, the full discernment, the full recognition of Christ. So Paul prayed that they have spiritual wisdom, which is that it be laid bare to them the full knowledge of Christ, the full recognition of Christ. Why are you doing all of this? Because I want to explain to you, because I'm going to preach from this verse, that you may have, because this is one of the, if I let me say this to you, look at what I'm doing this teaching. The greatest need of the believer, I said this on Thursday, the greatest need of the believer is not miracle. The greatest need of the believer is not money. The greatest need of the believer is what I'm sharing with you this morning. Epignosis. Knowledge. Full recognition of Christ. Full. Now, people think that what a believer needs most in his life is money. Some of us think what we need most in our life is power. So when we come to prayer and say, Father, I receive power. We need power as of old. People think that's what the believer needs most. I'll teach you that's not even what one of the things you need. The greatest need of the believer is this. Notice in Ephesians 1, something like we are seeing now, Paul prayed that they have apocalypsis in the epignosis of him, revelation in the knowledge of him. So he prayed that they have knowledge. In Colossians 1, verse 9, he prays the same prayer. That they have knowledge. That they have this epignosis. Say, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the epignosis of his will. They will be filled with the knowledge of his will. He's praying that same prayer. He prayed it for the Ephesian church. He prayed it for the Colossian church. He prayed it for the Philippian church. In Philippians chapter 1 verse 9, you find the same desire. So Paul had the same desire for all the churches. He said, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in epignosis, in knowledge. So your love can only abound in knowledge. Well, I'm coming to that shortly. So he prayed the same prayer, that knowledge becomes theirs. In Philemon verse 6, he prayed the same prayer, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the what? Acknowledging. That word acknowledging is that word epignosis. By Philemon 1 verse 6, by the acknowledging of every good thing in you. So he prayed the same prayer, that they are able to acknowledge, that they are able to fully discern, that they are able to fully know the things that they have in Christ. Same desire for everybody. Same desire. In Ephesians again, chapter 4, verse 11, that word epignosis was used 20 times. Okay, in the New Testament, 20 times. I can make you through all of them, but let me see without stress. In Ephesians 4, verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Pay attention at verse 13. Till we all come to God's desire. Why did God give apostle, prophet, teacher? For the perfecting of the saints. That they can help the saints mature. What do they want to achieve in the saints? Till we all come in the unity of the faith. What is the unity of the faith? The knowledge, the epignosis, the full recognition, the full discernment of the Son of God. Listen to me, guys. The greatest need of believers is not money. It's not power. The greatest need of believers is knowledge. I follow you. The greatest of believers is not money. It's not anointing. It's not healing. Because some persons feel, so what do you need most in your life? Say, if I can just get this amount, I'm fine. If the greatest of believers, it's not even all those things. It's not even peace. I'm not saying a believer doesn't need all these things, but that's not what he needs most. Because by the time we are done with this teaching, you will find out that this very thing that we are sharing with you today will open up to many other things for you. It is the knowledge of Christ. It is the epignosis of Christ. So you notice Paul will pray for all the churches, and you never see him emphasizing that you have money. There were places he prayed for their finance. In Philippians chapter 4, he said my God will supply all your needs. But whenever it comes to this very prayer about knowledge, he says, I cease not to pray for you. I pray for you every day. Cease not. Ephesians 1:16, cease not. Philippians 1, cease not. Colossians 1, every time I keep doing it. In other words, this is so important that the Philippian church need it, the Ephesian church need it, the Colossian church need it, everybody needs it. Even when he wrote to Philemon personally, I'll just show you in the book of Timothy. Everybody he talks to, he says, this is my greatest desire, that you will be able to see this, that you might be able to have full knowledge, that you might be able to have full recognition of Christ and what he stands for. And so this is your need. This is the greatest need. You know, a lot of things have been misplaced. So we find ourselves putting energy in the wrong places. We do not realize that the things we are pursuing are not the things we actually need. The things we actually need is actually revelation. It's knowledge. I will explain this thing better when we get to Zoe. Like, not race of actor, like Zoe in November. Do you understand? But that's the point. But then, because the thing for Zoe is what? What? Some of you have forgotten. It's light. So, this is the greatest of the believer. Now, what is epignosis? Let me begin to explain. It's beyond hearing something. It's beyond just hearing, just paid for your sins. It's even beyond reading it. It is to come to the full awareness of a truth. Full recognition of a truth that sometimes you've heard before. You know, in 2 Timothy 3 verse 7, Paul notes that it's possible to be learning something and yet not have epignosis of that thing. He says, these people are ever learning. So ever learning means they're always coming to church. Ever learning may mean they're always reading their books. were never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So I'm not talking about hearing something in church once. I'm not talking about just even being able to explain it. I'm not talking about being able to read it in a book. I'm talking about when it comes on you. When it's like your eyes pop open, come to realization to you, that is the greatest thing that can ever happen to any believer. I tell you me. I can tell you why before you even get there. The reason is because the kabo varate. You know the Bible tells us in Colossians 2 verse 10. It says you are complete in him. So the believer, the day he came into Christ as a complete person. What that means is that he doesn't need any other thing in this life. Come on. What epignosis will now be to fully recognize those things that happened to him at salvation. That is what you need all the days of your life. And so, it is not just about hearing something. So, more than health, more than we need money, more than we need safety, we need to know. We need to know. We need this revelation. We need this knowledge to be able to realize. So, it's not just about knowing everything. It's about knowing the truth of Christ. Knowing the truth of Christ. The early church did not spend all their time learning on how to get money, learning how to progress, learning how to succeed or how to get married. The early church spent their time learning Christ. Their eyes being open to the realities that is found in Christ Jesus. They came to that level. You see, Paul prayed that it will just happen to you, that one day you wake up to the full realization of him. He said, if that happens, that becomes your greatest miracle. That becomes your greatest testimony. Now, I'll look at this very shortly. So, when he says to know, when he talks about, go back to Ephesians 1 verse 17, he talks about that the God and the Father, that the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God and the Father of Jesus Christ, the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, he puts a colon at the end of that. Revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, he began to explain what he means by that. What does he mean? What does he want them to know? What about him does he want them to know? He said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. So, Paul's prayer for the church is not that they will have, is that they will know. Are you following me? What should they know? Number one, what is the hope of his calling? What is the hope of his calling? So there is a calling we have in Christ Jesus. There is a hope that we need to know. So Paul is not saying that you will have hope. He's not saying that we will have hope or that we will have confidence. He said that you will know the hope we have in this calling. You know, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 16, let me show you something. Hebrews 6, verse 16. Okay? Let's look at what he means by hope of his calling. He said, for men, put up like NLT, suppose our time. Please, everybody look at the screen. When people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who receive the promise could be perfectly sure that he will never change his mind. God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have what? Grace, confidence, as we hold to the hope. So that is a hope we have in Christ Jesus. Come on. So Paul is praying that you will just know. There is a hope. Grace, confidence, verse 19. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. What is that hope? It leads us through the curtain. So when he talks about hope, now he calls it hope, pay attention, in the book of Hebrew, he calls it hope because he was writing, he was writing about the saints that live before us. So they had hope. What is the hope they have? That they can enter into God's sanctuary one day. But one day it's going to happen. That which they had as a hope, we now have as a reality. Do you understand me? So Paul is praying that you understand that reality. That you understand the realities of what God has promised us, has already given us in Christ Jesus. He said, I pray that you will come to the realization of it. In Colossians 1, look at Colossians 1 verse 3. Look at, he talks about hope again. Talks about hope again, Colossians 1 verse 3. Of course, NLT we do. He said, we always pray for you and we give thanks to God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. See verse 4. Everybody watch. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all God's people. Now, verse 5. Let's read together. Which come from what? Your confident hope of what God has reserved for you. So that is something reserved for us in heaven. Right? And Paul says that these guys, they have confident hope that they will receive it. So Paul is praying that you will have that hope too. How many of us are so sure that there is something reserved for you in heaven? How many of us are so sure that you will receive it? Paul is praying that you will know the hope of this our calling. Amen? That you will know that there is something that God has given to you today in Christ Jesus, and there is even something he will reserve for you after now. Paul is praying that you will know. In verse, go back to that Ephesians 1. In verse 18, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you will know what the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the sense. So he explains that there is we have riches, there are riches, okay, of the glory of his inheritance in us. In other words, there is a lot that God has for us and has laid up in us. So there is a rich of the glory of his inheritance. Where is this glory of his inheritance? Is in the sense. So what Paul is trying to say is that you will understand the things that are now available for you in Christ Jesus, because you are born again. He calls it the riches of his glory. Are you following me? And so you understand, okay, in simple terms, that you may understand in Christ realities. That you may understand what your realities are now that you are in Christ. That you may understand it. It's so well, it's so much. So Paul is saying, I'm praying that you understand it. That you may come to the full knowledge and realization of that. Continue. Verse 19. Now, this way it gets interesting. And what else should you have a big notice of? What is what? Come on. What is what? So, look, watch closely. Is he saying that we should pray to have power? What is he saying? That we should pray to know that power. So the believer's need is not power. The believer's need is that he just needs to know the exceeding strength of his power towards us who believe. Are you following me? Where was that power manifested? Verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. He said, I pray that you will understand that power. That he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. In other words, he's saying, I pray that you understand the power that has saved us. The power that has brought salvation to us. Well, we'll see this further. I pray. So he was praying. So generally, Paul, when we talk about epignosis or knowledge, we're asking that we're praying and trusting that your eyes will open to the things that God has worked for you in Christ Jesus, the things he has reserved for you in Christ Jesus, the things he has made available for you in Christ Jesus. That is the greatest need of any believer. Not even car. In Colossians, I show you another one. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. Colossians 1 verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And to desire that you might be filled with what? Talk back to me. With what? So this is a epignosis of his will. What is the will of God? What is the will of God? Have you not been in this church? What is the will of God? That all men be saved. God doesn't want anybody to perish, but that all men will come to repentance. In our call, he said that I pray you will understand the knowledge of his will. I pray that your eyes will open up to the truth about salvation in Christ Jesus. That is what Paul is praying. For every church is asking the same thing. That they will understand salvation and what is available to us since we are saved. So the greatest need we have as believers, okay, maybe you came here this morning expecting me to pray for your healing or pray for money or something. The greatest need you have is that you begin to realize and understand these things that God has worked out for us in Christ Jesus. That is all you need. I'll show you another thing. In Philemon verse 6, it says that the communication of thy faith, watch closely, be made effectual by the acknowledging what? That is epignosis. By the knowledge of what now? Every good thing which is in you in Christ. So what does he want you to know too? The things that are in you in Christ. So Paul did not say, I'm praying one day that you will get many good things in you in Christ. No. He said, I'm praying that you will know the good things already in you. Let me see whether we follow to this point. Do you follow? That you will know the good things in you. So, it's the believer does not lack good things in Christ. The believer just lacks knowledge of these good things in Christ. So, his greatest need is not to possess any good thing in Christ. His greatest need is to know. Paul says every good thing, meaning it's not one. Come on. There are good things in me, Christ Jesus. Now, there are plenty. Forgiveness, righteousness, justification, all these things. He said that you will know them. That you will acknowledge them. That is my greatest prayer for you. So, you notice that his prayer has never been that the, for instance, you wouldn't see the, you see Paul teach that you should pray for forgiveness. Please pay attention. You will not see Paul teach that you should pray for righteousness. You will not see him teach that you should pray for justification. You will not see him teach that you will pray for the blessing. No. No. He will only teach that you will know. Are you following me? That you will know. And I wish I can communicate this in the simplest terms as ever. That you do not need many of the things you are crying for. Because when you come to knowledge, you will find out that many of the things you are crying for are already made available for you already in Christ Jesus. You just need to walk into them by epignosis, by knowledge. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is made available for you in Christ. That's what you need. That's what you need. So you see people running, but this is, you know why people don't like this kind of teachings is because they don't want to know anything. They just want to receive. What people want to do when they come to church is to just receive, receive. So what do you need today? I need a car. Receive the car. I will still show you the disadvantage of such things. You will end up living all your life pursuing things. Half of the time, pursuing the things that you already have. Are you following? What you already have. But then because you don't know, it's just like what I teach every Sunday here. You notice you have money in the bank. Imagine you have money in the bank and you don't know. So this is a case of someone has a need. So we pay in, person has a need. I've paid in 100 million naira into the person's account. But after paying the money in, the person's phone gets missing. Or before I paid it in. Do you understand? And we're not in the same state. There is no way to tell this person, I've paid money to your account. That person needs to even get the alert to know that there is 100 million. Do you follow? So the person might live all his life praying, trusting the Lord for supply, trusting the Lord for money. So in the United States where I am praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may not that he will give unto him money. Do you follow? May give unto him knowledge, in the knowledge, also revelation rather, in the knowledge of the money. Come on. The knowledge will not give him the money. The knowledge will only help him assess and begin to use the money. Do you understand? That the communication of thy faith made effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing. So God, Ephesians calls it riches of his inheritance. Riches. Wealth. He calls, another place he calls it the unsearchable riches of Christ. I follow you. Unsearchable. In other words, another place, another translation calls it the inexhaustible riches of Christ. Meaning these are riches you can never exhaust. They are in you. So it is actually wrong for the believer to present in prayers. I'll address some things about prayer during the rest of the act. It's wrong. But the believer to pray, for instance, I see people praying, Father, in the name of Jesus, anointing fall upon me, cover me head to toe. That's a very terrible prayer. You don't need anointing. You need to know. He says, sir, are you sure? Very, very sure. He told us, he that has anointed us is God. He told us in 1 John, the anointing you've received of the Holy One abides in you. Do you get? So you need to know his knowledge of his way, knowing what he has made available for you. So a believer goes to the place of prayer. Say, Father, I receive righteousness. Righteousness is mine. Righteousness, I receive righteousness. Father, make me righteous. Listen to the prayer. Father, make me righteous. Then when he's done, he says, because I am not worthy, O Lord. He's asking for righteousness. He is very sincere, but he is sincerely wrong. Are you following me? Because for God made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So he is asking for what he has. What he needs is to know those things. I follow him. The guy comes again. He's asking for forgiveness. Say, Lord, we are like fish in the water. We will know the water we are like with. So it's forgiveness. He has not read, or maybe he has not understood things like Ephesians 1 verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins. He has not understood 1 John 2 verse 12. I write unto you, little children, for your sins are forgiven already. He doesn't understand it. So he is asking and crying out for things. Whereas all he needs to know, all he needs is revelation, epignosis in the knowledge of what has been given him. Come on. Are you following me? God, I need power as of old. And by power as of old, he is asking for power as in the days of Elijah. Right? Power as in the days of Moses. That's what he's asking for. What he doesn't realize is that Moses and Elijah, we are asking for power as of the future. You think what I say now? Moses and Elijah were praying and asking to have the kind of power you have now. Because the power they had could not live inside of them. It could only come upon them once in a while. But now you have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. But he doesn't know. So he says he wants that one. Give me what Elijah had. Give me what Moses had. Give me what Elisha had. And Elisha was praying, give me what? Are you getting me? The Bible said they were looking forward to this day. One day, David was writing in the book of Psalms. He said, oh, what joy for people whose sins will be forgiven. So he was thinking about how happy those guys would be. What he didn't realize is that those guys will come and begin to ask for what David had. So he's asking for things. Asking for things. Things he already has. He doesn't know. He doesn't need any of those things he's asking for. Because they're already available to him. He just needs knowledge of these things. Do you follow to this point? Do you follow to this point? He needs to know what Christ has done. He needs to know what is available to him in Christ Jesus. He needs to know these things. He needs to know. And that's why knowledge is important. You notice what I'm teaching now. Some people are just trying to write. And some people are telling people that have not been here for some time. They're wondering, this guy should start, I hear this man of God is powerful. He should start praying and releasing power. Because that is all we come to church to look for. Now, I'm going to show you what happens when you just live your life. You don't have light. You don't have knowledge. You don't have understanding. But you have miracles. Part of things that will even happen is, you know, let me talk about miracles a little. Spiritual things can be scientific in nature. I've told you that before, right? By scientific, I mean, it can have formula that you can reproduce. You know when something has formula, every time you use it, it works. Now, many people don't want to care how those things came about. They just want the result. So what is going to happen is, the guy doesn't want to know how miracles happen. He just wants a miracle. I follow you. So finally, the pastor comes, uses the anointing, works miracle, and then he's fine. Tomorrow, he has another challenge. Because he doesn't know how the first one happened. He starts looking for the pastor again. And that is what many pastors enjoy. Because it leaves you always coming back to us. Are you getting me? It leaves you always coming back. Coming back. And he comes to that and says, what happened? This thing happened again. I didn't say enough seed. This time, so further. Person say, He said, what did you say? I gave my tithe. Give your first fruit. After first fruit, it will happen again. Because you don't know how, you come back. He said, you've given tithe, you've given first fruit. Special seed. You keep coming back. Amen. What is happening? It's still happening. I think I know the reason. You've not bought our special oil. So you buy our special oil. What you do every night, you do it like this. Like native doctor. They don't want to know how things happen. They just want to know that they are happening. You see, you bought oil, it's not working. Have you heard of the mantle of Elijah? You say, yeah, he said, you're going to buy it. Don't see it like ordinary handkerchief. It's not ordinary handkerchief. It is the mantle of Elijah. So buy it. So the next time witches want to pursue you, all you have to do, put it around your neck. He doesn't want to stay. Just put it somehow. When you put it, sleep. You see that? He just wants to know. He says, sir, it worked. I put it last night. I slept like a baby. He said, that's it right there. You keep coming back. Because we don't want to know. Let me tell you something. The reason why there are false prophets and false teachers all over the place is because there is no knowledge of Jesus. I don't know how you can convince me to do some things. Because we go to places where we don't want to learn about Christ. We want to learn about the acts of God. We want to learn about the things God does. We don't want to learn about Him. Are you following me? We don't want to learn about Him. We don't want knowledge of Him. We just want to learn about the things He does. He works miracles. There is nothing God cannot do. There is nothing. Today, there is a miracle. That's what we want to know. So the bondage continues. Because we don't know Him. We know about Him. But we don't know Him. Did you get the point? We know things about Him. We know about the things He can do. We don't know Him. Particularly. So that's what I'm talking about. You need, what we need is the knowledge of Him. That the eyes of your understanding, that you may know. Not that you will have. Because it is knowing that will now lead to having other physical things that you even need. And I'm coming to that shortly. That you may know. That you may know. The things that are given to you. The things you already have. That you may know. Hallelujah. You can imagine somebody saying, all of you come and kneel down here. I'm going to impart righteousness into you. Receive righteousness. Be saying amen. Receive righteousness. Receive righteousness. Receive righteousness. Receive holiness. I said, how was service today? Kai. We needed to be there. He said, what happened? They imparted righteousness to us. That's a foolish gathering. They're not foolish. I didn't say the people there are foolish. I have respect for them. They are believers and all that.
But it's a foolish gathering. It's a gathering of foolish things.
Receive. I receive, I receive. You even fall down. What did you receive? You say, ah. So don't you know, why are you doubting it? The Bible said that God imputed righteousness unto Abraham without works. So I will impute righteousness unto him. He said, ah!
Come on, are you following me at all?
You need knowledge. It is easy to keep you in bondage when you don't have light.
It's very easy. It's very easy.
When your eyes have not been able to open, have not been opened to understand what has happened to you and happened for you in Christ Jesus,
is this to keep you in bondage. I'll give you some things today before we close.
When epignosis happens, the first thing is going to help is that it has the capacity to help your conduct. So some persons believe that what they need is, I just need the ability to live right. What they don't realize is that they don't need any ability from God to live right. They need knowledge. Colossians 1 verse 9. Let me show you this. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9.
Colossians 1 verse 9.
For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to what?
Come on, are you looking at your Bible?
Do not cease to what? Pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and... Now, when you have this knowledge of his will, what happens? Look at verse 10. What happens? That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Put up like NLT. Then the way you live will always honor and please God. And your life will produce a very good fruit. What will make the way you live please God? That you have knowledge of his will. So most times people think that how to attain right living is actually by telling people, live right. You know the problem with living right? Everybody you want to challenge to live right already knows it is to live right. He just doesn't know how.
Come on, I follow you.
The knowledge of his will. When it comes, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Unto all pleasing. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your life will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. And so, it is the knowledge of his will, the knowledge of him, the knowledge of Jesus, that will produce that kind of lifestyle, that kind of conduct in you. In Philippians chapter 1 verse 9. Philippians 1 verse 9. Look at the screen. Amen. Glory to God. Philippians 1 verse 9.
Let's do King James, then we'll come back to NLT later.
And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in what? Knowledge and in all. Now, what happens when this will happen? Verse 10, when this happens, what's the reality? Then you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense. Put up NLT to the door of Christ. When knowledge comes, you'll be able to know. He said, if I want you to know, this is NLT, I want you to understand what really matters. So that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. So how do I live a pure and a blameless life?
The knowledge of his will.
Are you following me, guys? So it's not actually about receiving holiness. It's about knowledge of what has happened to you. Knowledge of what you already have. Knowledge of what's already working in you. Knowledge of his will. Knowledge of what he has done in you. Knowledge of what has been made available for you. I'm going to challenge you today. I'll show you one more. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Now, let me give you the background of this. I always like doing that. This was Paul addressing a church that have been seared by sin. This church, they were living in a lot of terrible things. Of course, you know the background. In chapter 3, we have people quarreling. Some say that I'm of Paul. Others were saying, I'm of Apollos. So there was heavy division among them. In chapter 5, you find a man living with his father's wife. Hello? In chapter 5. And the Bible says they were even bold about it. They were proud of it. All over the place. They were so uniform and calm. So a man took his father's wife. In chapter 6, you now find these guys suing each other to court. So it was a totally messed up church. But by the time you begin to go to other chapters, in chapter 7, chapter 8, you begin to explain to them about marriage, about fornication, okay, and divorce and all that. By the time you get to chapter 11, you begin to talk to them about why they should not be fighting when they come to church to eat food, that they should take it easy. Such a church. And look at what Paul tells them. He said, flee fornication. He was addressing that case of that brother with his father's wife. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. This is where many preachers want to stop. He said, flee fornication. Flee. Now, that is true. We must flee fornication. You know, I preach that a lot here. But he now began to explain to them, why should they flee fornication? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? So why should they flee fornication? So it is knowledge of the fact that their bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost that will now empower them to flee fornication. Notice what he did not say. What he did not say is, make your body temple of the Holy Ghost. That's what we want to hear. That's not what the Bible said. Lord, prepare me a sanctuary, pure and holy. That's not what the Bible said. He didn't say, make your body. Amen. That's one that makes me laugh. One song. Say, my body. You know that song? Is your sanctuary. Very powerful first line. My body is your sanctuary. Is that correct? You now see the next line. Purify me like gold. Wow. So I might be bold to say. So what do I say? You already said your body is his sanctuary. You now say, well, purify me that I should be bold to say it. You notice, if I always say this, if I give this situation to a Nigerian pastor, that is brother living with his father's wife, talk to them. So he's going to just walk in and say, listen, the eyes of the Lord are too holy to behold iniquity. You know the tone, right? He will so threaten you. But Paul writes to them. He shouts at them. Notice, I'm not saying we condone our part sin at the back. Are you following me? He corrected them. He stood against it. He said, flee. In fact, in chapter 5, he told them that they should separate that brother so that he will learn. Do you understand? That's what it means by deliver to Satan. It means, see, all of you should frown at it. We don't see sin and we are smiling, saying, you know, we like, we don't do that. Are you getting me? But what will empower the believer to live above sin is not to tell him, see, become the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's not what the Bible says. How can Paul write to people that we are living in sin and still tell them that their body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Are you following me? Know ye not. Don't you know? That's how I correct people here. So I tried to say, what? So when I was talking to one of my people 2 days ago, and after talking, I just said, she finished talking to me, I said, well, I think your major problem is that you don't know who you are. I was very angry. I said, if you know who you are, you won't be doing some of this nonsense you are doing. And that is actually the truth. Are you following me? It is revelation. He said, don't you know that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? Paul is amazed. Don't you know? In other words, if you actually know. Now, that's why I said it's a big gnosis. It's full. It's not just something that happened by hearing it. These guys must have heard this thing before. But obviously, they didn't know it. Are you getting me? So Paul is saying, don't you know? And I always give this illustration every time I teach on this. Okay, nobody's on a white skirt or white trouser. If someone was on a white skirt or white trouser, I would have just done this. Like, okay, I'm on white. I won't use myself. At least it drives on what I'm saying. If someone was in a white, black, if you're on a black trouser, I say, come and sit down here. You will rush and come and sit. Black trouser. Red trouser, come and sit. You will come and sit. If you're on a white, you just sold the clothes today. White.
and say, come and sit here. If not that we are in church, if you had your way, you bring out your handkerchief, spread it here. Is that not true? Why are you doing that? You have knowledge of the fact that you are wearing white. Come on. So if you know that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, it will empower you not to mess up. Are you getting me? It is the knowledge of who you are and what Christ has made you that will empower you. So you see believers living in sin. Maybe they're even part of this church, but I'm misbehaving. He say, why? They don't know. He say, but they've heard it. It's not about hearing it. That's what I'm talking about, epignosis. It's not about hearing it. They can hear it 1,000,000 times. If you know it, you can't commit sin and you are comfortable. It's not possible. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you know who God has made you, you can't sit down on a very, you know, if you're wearing black and I didn't even dust this seat. Let me assume this seat is very dusty. You didn't know. You're wearing black. You just came and sat. And I said, you're sitting there. That seat is dirty. You will stand up and just dust it off. You'll be bothered, but not really, really bothered. You're already on black. Imagine you didn't know. You're wearing white, and you sit there. They said, that seat is dirty. You feel perhaps. Because you know the reason why some people can walk into sin. So-called believers, they walk into sin, commit a sin, and they bounce out of it as though nothing happened. They don't know what happened to them. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they have. They think they've heard it in church. They've heard pastors say it. They've even rejoiced when they say it. You are righteous, glory. They don't know it. Are you getting me? If you know it, some things will not be normal again. It won't be normal. It won't be normal. So the first thing is, it empowers you to live above sin. Another thing epignosis does to you, you know, this full knowledge does to you, is that it makes you effective and productive in your work with God. Philemon verse 6, that the communication of thy faith be made effectual. How the communication of your faith becomes effectual is by the acknowledging of these things in you. So, your work with God becomes more effectual and more effective and more productive when you begin to acknowledge the good things that are in you in Christ Jesus. In fact, let me put it this way. Spiritual growth and spiritual productivity starts when you begin to come to the realization of what has happened to you in Christ. What is yours in Christ? What is available for you in Christ Jesus? I can tell you guys, I've been born again. I was born again for a long time before this thing happened to me. Before my eyes began to open to these things I'm sharing with you. I've been hearing them. I've been born again. I've been preaching. I've been working miracles. And I'm not talking about miracle of headache. I'm talking about raising the dead. I'm talking about miracles. Are you getting me? But real spiritual productivity and growth will start the day you begin to acknowledge the things you have in Christ. You know, I read Ephesians 4 to you. In Ephesians 4 verse 11, he said he gave some apostles, gave some prophets, gave some evangelists, gave some pastors and teachers. In verse 12, he says the reason he gave these gifts is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now in verse 13, he began to explain further. He says, till we also, the reason the ministry gifts are working is to make you to come to what he calls the unity of the faith. What does he mean by unity of the faith? The knowledge of the Son of God. What is the knowledge of the Son of God? Unto a perfect man. That perfect man means a mature man. So spiritual maturity starts from where you begin to have knowledge, epignosis, light of the Son of God. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He now goes further. Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children. Tossed. You see what I was explaining a few minutes ago. Tossed what? To and fro by every wind of new doctrine. That is the point. You see people that don't have this knowledge of him, anything can blow them. They don't know anything. They know everything. They know nothing. They are Christians that walk with the trend. So today, pastor is preaching about you are righteous in Christ. The guy is shouting. Say, glory, wow. He's even pointing the pastor.
Say, ah! I saw that him. I saw the last night. He's excited. Then he goes to another meeting. The person says, you are righteous in Christ, but righteousness can only be activated by being, say, ah! Debt. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't really understand. He's being tossed to and fro by every wind of new doctrine. Everything moves him. Anything can carry him. Are you getting me? So you see those people, one other way to know them is they listen to everything and everybody. So anything you say, I like this pastor. Your pastor can preach, but I also like, you now hear about another contradicting pastor that you're wondering. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't have knowledge of what he says he believes. Hallelujah. He doesn't have knowledge. There's some things I hear from some preachers and I'm shocked. I'm telling you. And sometimes, you know, what people, you know why I'm explaining epignosis today? What people understand as epignosis or revelation is any high sounding nonsense. Any high sounding nonsense. He said, God, see revelation. Do you understand? See revelation. Hallelujah. The systems. Just anything. Just ask anything that doesn't make sense. Use big English. Let it have rhymes. Let it confuse everybody. You know, people shout for what they don't understand. The equilibrium of the dynamics of the supernatural. Yeah. He said, that guy, he has depth. He has depth means he's confusing me. You know, I said something here one day. And after I finished shouting about it, I went to, all of my people met me and said, you know that he said in church, I shouted. He was after shouting, I began to ask myself, do I even understand what pastor said? Sir, please explain it to me. And that is better like that. What people understand by knowledge, epignosis. For instance, if I didn't explain this epignosis, and I'm just teaching, I say that you may have the epignosis of the genosco that is found in the suchikos of the pneumatology. Do you know, I said nothing. Epignosis is knowledge. Genosko is knowledge. Suchikos means a natural man, an unbeliever. Pneumatology means the spirit. Nothing. But somebody can jump up from his seat because of this thing I said. You see people that their ears, anything can thrill them. Let me tell you, one of the signs that you're a good teacher of the word is that you're very simple. You get the point? If you know it, you'll be simple. If you confuse us, you don't know it. Don't you understand? If you confuse us, you don't know it. You know, I have an issue with people that use, you know, some of you, you've heard me say things about all these dimensions, realms, portals. Do you know, I explained this on Thursday, I want to explain it today. The reason why, I'm not saying what I'm saying is wrong. Okay? I just feel, and I believe, there is no point bringing those terms used in metaphysics, terms used, those things look like esotericism to me. You borrow those terms and try to use them to explain Bible terms. Bible has its own language. Use Bible terms. Some of those things are saying there is a portal you need to get to. Sometimes what they're saying is you need to grow spiritually. Why not use it? I don't get the point. Why not use it? But because you want us to start behaving somehow. You notice, I like simple Bible teaching. Amen? You know, I like that simple, let just explain it. You know, I heard this from Rehard Bonnke many years ago. He said, I want to teach the Bible to a point that even a nursery 2 child will understand it. And that is Bible teaching. And that's how Jesus taught. Jesus was even teaching spiritual things to people who didn't have, who are not born again. So the only way to communicate to them, he went down to parables. He will use sheep, goats,
Are you what I'm talking about?
To be able to drive this point home. So revelation and knowledge and whatever is not, saying mysterious things that make us just begin to shake our leg. I learned from simple men. Amen? And I keep it simple. And the same thing that thou hast received. The same thing, that's what he passed on. And so, he says that we henceforth be no more children. How do you know children in the spirit? They are tossed to and fro by anything. Every wind of doctrine. Anything that just sounds good, they go for it. You know, I was saying this on Thursday. I mean, yesterday, people that came for the new, for the meeting I had with some people. I was trying to explain to them how, some years ago, we got into trouble in Nigeria, in the church in Nigeria, because people don't really have light. People don't really have understanding. They don't have revelation. Anything can move them. I gave an example with, I've said that a couple of times in the church. I'm not even afraid to say it. You know, a many times about, when some people came up, there was a time it looked like everybody was dying and waking up and going to hell and going to heaven and then telling us how hearing is bad and how neck. Did you know that? Do you remember that time? Now, you know, what shocked, now that didn't shake me. It only made me laugh. And they talk about how they saw everybody in hellfire. They saw Pastor Bimbo Dukoya in hellfire. Right? I wasn't a follower of Bimbo Dukoya, so it didn't move me. But they saw Archbishop Benson in the host in hellfire. You know, the first time I heard that, I just knew I was going to hell. Don't you think so? If Archbishop is in hell, then hell is heaven. We will go. You see, God is no respecter of persons. No, calm down. No. God is no respecter of persons. He's not talking about sending his beloved children to hell. Okay? If after everything Archbishop did for God in this country, he will go to hell, then Satan won. Do you understand me? But that's not my assignment. If you have an issue with that, it's fine. Anybody can be in hell. Now, they went further and began to see even people that are alive today in hell. They saw Bishop Oyedepo in hell. They saw Pastor Adebo in hell. They saw where angels fear to tread. People are names that I can't even mention normally. They were mentioning it on tapes. Now, they began to talk about earrings. We can talk about, I mean, your hair, trouser, eyelashes. Now, see the point. Some of them didn't see anything. I hope you know. I'm going to somewhere with this story. You know some of them didn't see anything. You know now, nothing. In fact, I say this all the time. Some of them are beginning to confess now. Go on YouTube, you see them. One came out and was apologizing that we should forgive her. That she didn't really see anything. That she just made up those things in her head. Are you following me? Now, see where I'm going to. You see people who have been born again for the past 20 years. Some of them drop their earring. Because of a 45-minute message. So, did they really have understanding of what they were doing? They didn't. There was no knowledge. Are you getting me? And to tell you that they stand for nothing, some of them dropped it, shaved their hair and all that. 3 months later, they put it back. Did you observe? There was really nothing they stood for. You see, that's why, and it's talking about the church in Nigeria for some time, but that's why I believe God is bringing back light. Are you getting me? Into the church. Because we had a generation where things were not explained. I was talking to people I met with yesterday. So, if at that generation I'm talking about, you are not permitted to ask questions. You ask questions, they say, how dare you question God. You know, let me tell you, I run a church system that I believe that believers should be able to ask questions. I'm already digressing a little. I'm going to close from here. I believe that believers should be able to do what? Ask questions. I believe that forever. Because where I grew up, we are not permitted to ask anything. So they said, man shall not wear what pertaining to a woman. And I asked questions. And I wasn't being sarcastic. I wanted to know what pertains to a woman. Who determines what pertains to a woman? Who determines what pertains to a man?
Do you understand the point? I was asking. And I'm still asking.
And did I ask? I said, and also in that Deuteronomy 22, sir, I was telling them, I read from verse 1. I heard it from a preacher, and I did it too. I read from verse 1 to the end. And I saw many other instructions that were there, that we are not obeying. I saw that we must not wear wool and linen, which you are wearing. I learned that we should not do mixed cropping. I saw it in that same chapter.
Do you understand?
So I asked questions. I said, why are we not obeying? You know what they told me? They said, don't question God.
That's where we are in the Nigerian church. And that's how we got here.
So anything we tell you, accept it.
Are you getting me?
So at the end of the day, we really don't have any knowledge. We don't have any revelation. There is no light. There is no strong. We don't know anything. We've had this in our head.
We don't know it.
And that's why there is no true spiritual growth in many places. No true spiritual growth. I'll show you one more thing. That's why you find people that are born again. They're born again for long. 50 years, 25 years, 13 years. They can't handle some simple spiritual realities. The guy has been in church for the past 13 years. He doesn't understand the first thing about tongues. He doesn't understand the first thing about, he can't even see visions. He can't even do anything. He just lives a dependent, a frustrated Christian life.
Are you getting me?
He doesn't know. So he lives all his life seeking, whereas he should be knowing. Well, so it makes you, but let me say this. It makes you fearless. Revelation, light, makes you fearless over satanic forces and even over life generally. Notice in that Ephesians 1 verse 17 where we read, he said the eyes of understanding have been enlightened. Verse 19, he said that you may know, he said, that you may know. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. And set him at his own right hand. This part of things, Paul is saying that you understand. That you understand how Jesus is seated at God's own right hand. Far above principalities and powers and might and dominion. He said, I want you to understand this. What does this mean? If we now get to chapter 2, verse 6, it now tells us that we are seated with him in that same place. Paul is praying that you understand. If you understand this, you find out that most of our midnight prayers are uncalled for.
I follow you.
Most of our midnight prayers. Because you realize we are all praying that Satan will be defeated. Satan has been defeated. If you only know what has happened in Christ, you will know Satan has been defeated. He's actually under your feet. You have, you know, I was sharing with our Lagos church last weekend. You know, just on Friday, I was flying to Lagos and then I looked out. The Lord said, look out. And I looked out, I saw the cloud, I saw everything. And then the Lord said to me, do you realize that everything you see out there belongs to you? Amen? I said, how is that possible? We have authority over the earth as a whole. The heavens belongs to the Lord. The earth has he given to the sons of men. As I said, sometimes when you are praying for things, you just need to know. When Jesus came and died, he gave us authority over demons, over satanic forces, over the earth generally. He said, everything you see out there is yours. You can lay hold of it.
Are you following me?
And so, you need to know. You know the power working in you. You can, in fact, notice in 2 Peter 1 verse 3, he said, according as, put it up, I want to quote exactly what it says.
2 Peter 1 verse 3. Look at the screen. I didn't want to paraphrase.
According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto what? So we have been given how many things?
All things that pertain to.
How are we going to assess these things? Through the knowledge of him.
It's still that epignosis, is that light.
Well, so there are many things you have, but until you begin to see and understand what has been given you in Christ Jesus, you will live your life struggling.
Amen. Let me drop this and then we'll pray.
You see, these things are spiritual realities, right? If you can begin to know these things that has happened to us in Christ Jesus, it makes life easy for you. Apart from that, it will even have effect in your natural life. People say, so we don't need healing. Healing, wealth will come when you have perfect understanding of the things that have been made available for you in Christ Jesus. I tell you the truth. Look at Hebrews 11 verse 13. If you understand the things that you already have in Christ, they are spiritual things, but it will affect your natural life and even deliver the physical things that you need. Look at, watch closely. Watch. He was talking about the guys in the Old Testament. He said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. What promise is he talking about here? He was talking about the Old Testament sense. That would say they died, they didn't receive the promise. What promise? Come on, talk back to me. What promise? We do. What promise? You said, what did you say? We don't know, right? The promise he's talking about is the promise that God made that he's going to send Jesus, his son, to die and bring us salvation. He said they all died, but they didn't receive it. Now, but having seen them afar off. So these promises, they saw it from. So these things we are enjoying now, the Old Testament says they have it, they saw it from afar off. Now watch. And we are persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed. So they were persuaded that they will have it. They embraced it from afar. They didn't see it. They didn't have it. They didn't taste it. And confessed that they were strangers and preached on the earth. Now, that scene from afar, continue. See what happened to them now. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country, so they were seeking a country, something they don't have yet. Of course, I explained to you that that country is talking about Zion. You remember? Which we have now. They were seeking it. They were looking forward to it. Now, see verse 16. Verse 16 quickly. But now they desire a better country. That is an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he had prepared them a city. So there was something God prepared for them. A city God prepared for them. A season, a blessing. But they didn't see it. They didn't have it rather. They saw it from. Right? So they saw salvation from far. They saw the coming of Jesus from far. They saw all these things from far. Now see verse 32. Look at what seeing those things from afar now produced in them. Verse 32. And what shall I more say? For time will fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel and of the prophets. Who through faith did what? Subdued kingdoms. So the blessings that they did not even receive, that they saw from afar off, they subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They didn't have it. They saw it. Are you following me at all? They saw what God will do in Christ from afar. Now we have what God has done in Christ. So it can begin to have effect. That's why you now realize that when you begin to learn what God has done for you, the authority you have in Christ Jesus, he said, somebody said, I need money. Sometimes what you need is not money. Sometimes what you need is revelation. He said, revelation give money a lot. When you understand, for instance, have light into the authority that you have in Christ over things, you can sit down in your room and begin to talk. As I step out of this place tomorrow, I'm going to make sales more than I've ever made. Because you've realized the authority you have in Christ. You go out and you make sales. You know, things don't happen because you say them. They happen because you understand them and you say them. Because faith works in the heart before it works in the mouth. So it's not just enough to be saying, I'm blessed, I prosper, I'm healed. If you know what has happened to us in Christ Jesus, for instance, that he has put his power in us, that we can call forth that be not, things that be not as though they are and they come to be. That he has put his power upon us, that we can heal the sick. You now find out that you don't really need to pray for, you don't need, God, give me healing. You just need to have light into what God has wrought for you. The power he has put in you. So you now need healing. You take it. Have all the things to pray about. You don't need to pray about. You just need to collect them. So you wake up in the morning and say, in the name of Jesus, health is mine. That is different from praying and saying, Father, please, give me health. I'm your son. No. If I die, nobody is going to be preaching for you again. That's
Light is what you need. If you have light, you will know that there is authority in Christ Jesus that you can lay hold on anything you want. Do you understand? People come to you and say, Father, I need protection. You don't need protection. You need light. I wish you can understand how guarded you are. I wish you can understand. You know that anointing oil cannot save you. He says, sir, are you against anointing oil? I am saying that you are more powerful than the oil. You just don't know. The oil only has power because a man of God, out of the wealth of his own knowledge, blessed that oil. Think of you that houses the entirety of God, but you don't have light. So you say, I need protection. So I just need God to protect me and my family. Sometimes what you are lacking is not protection. What you are lacking is simple knowledge of what God has given you. Simple knowledge of the authority you have over demons. My family, extended family, spent a lot of money over the years. I've shared this story before. Inviting one prophet after another. Every December, they're coming to do covenant breaking. Some of you still do that in your house. Covenant breaking. Breaking of covenant. And well, it was needed. You don't blame them. Things were happening. People were dying. My own father died too. Are you what I'm talking about? But we continued. Things kept going that way. And the Bible said, until I, Deborah, arose. Until I came to light. Okay? And I understood. First of all, I have a legal right in this compound. Some things can't happen here. So, one of those Decembers, I called a meeting of my extended family. I was young. I think I was 17 or 18. And they came back December, and I led them to pray. Amen? And we prayed, and I took my authority over those forces. They've not invited one more person to pray in that compound. Because there is no need. Are you following me? So what we needed was never God's protection. What we needed was just somebody to realize the authority that he has in Christ Jesus and exercise it. So it is a pignosis, light, knowledge that is lacking. So these guys, through the things they saw from far, they stopped the mouth of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, they were made strong. They waxed valiant in fight. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens. They just saw these things from far. They didn't have it. Women received their dead raised to life again. They decided, but now we want power. The guys you are looking at, the power they manifested, they saw it from afar. Today, that is with us now. So, the little understanding of what they saw from afar produced these things in them. I wish you can understand what is at work in you. They were tortured. They didn't accept deliverance. That I'm of them in chapter 36. Our others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Moreover, bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sown asunder. They were tempted, slain. They suffered persecution. Persecution. For what they saw from afar. Are you getting me? What they did for Abu? They were being persecuted. But because of the understanding of that they had concerning those things, they took the persecution. See verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the sand and the mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Oh, and this all, having obtained the good report through faith, received not the promise. Still, they didn't receive the promise. They saw it, they didn't receive it. But what they saw produced all these things we've seen so far in them. I wish your eyes would be open. I pray that you will understand. I pray that you have, that God will begin to show you, that you come to the full realization of what is working in you. In Christ. In Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People talk about finance, but as if that's a very big deal. You see, the secret to a blossoming financial life is revelation too. If you can understand some basic things of what God has worked on in Christ Jesus, you can stand up one day and begin to call forth money and it comes. Brother Copeland, you know them, and the wife, talked about how they were in debt. In fact, the way he normally puts it, he says, we were supernaturally in debt. Because he says, it only takes the supernatural to be in that kind of debt. He said they were owing everybody around them, every human being. Imagine we are owing your mother, your father, your in-law, all your friends. Nobody to borrow from. So one day, just going through the word of God, light popped up. And he told the wife, we will never borrow again. There was nothing in their hand. But light has come into their spirit, man. Who is following me at all? They began to see their authority in the place of finances. And I'll tell you how. I'll come to that story later. Because I'm going to challenge you to go for light and go for knowledge. You know, let me just tell you. But a Copeland one day, they were so broke, but they had this Volkswagen. You know Volkswagen? Not in, you know that Volkswagen. The only car that has boots in front. The boot is in front. The engine is at the back. So, he knew he needed light. So one of those days, he drove the car, went to Brother Hagin, Brother Hagin's office, and entered, and told them, please, I want tapes. I want books. But I don't have money. So please, check the value of this Volkswagen. Carry it. Give me books. Are you following me? Most times we are pushing what we don't need. He said, carry it. Give me every Brother Hagin book available. Brother Hagin, somebody went and said, we don't do this. And they went and told him. He said, who is that young man? He came out. He said, you want to give your car for books? He said, yes. He said, I'll go with your car. And pack every book and tape in it. Give him. That kind of heart. He knows that what you need in life sometimes is not all the... I need, amen, amen. I wish your eyes will be open to see the things that are already available. If you can study and it pumps open, you will stop struggling. You know, sometimes when people get sick, all they want us to do is to enter and say, in the name of Jesus, shamaramaramarama, sharamarama. That's what they want us to do. I wish they can go through the process and learn how there is health in part of the authority that Jesus gave us. If they can see it, they will not only be healed from that sickness, they would have taken care of future challenges. Are you getting me, guys? The greatest need of the believer is that he will see. And that's why I'm praying for you. Because you see, sir, how do I get this knowledge? How do I get this epignosis? I'm already showing you. Prayer does the work, but it's not only prayer. How do I know prayer does the work? Paul prayed for them. He said, I pray that you will see. I pray that you will see. But notice that before he began to pray, I don't have time to look at this one for our time. Before he began to pray for them, in Ephesians 1 verse 17, I explained this in Lagos last Sunday. He already taught them from Ephesians 1 verse 1 to verse 15. In verse 3, he told them of how God has blessed them with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. In verse 4, he told them how God has chosen us in Christ Jesus. In verse 6, he told them of how they already accepted in the beloved. In verse 7, he told them of how they have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He continued, verse 8, verse 9, by the time he got to verse 13 and verse 14, he told them of the Holy Ghost that has been given to them, which is the earnest of their inheritance. After he showed them all these things, he now got verse 17. He said that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So he taught them and now prayed for them. So what he prayed from verse 17 to verse 21 is that they will understand what he taught them from verse 1 to verse 15. Do you follow? So it's not just about prayer. We will pray, but you need to immerse yourself into knowledge. Not knowledge of any kind of nonsense. You need to go for knowledge. Teaching will bring answer to the prayer. Knowledge, teaching. You know, some of you need to go back and immerse yourself
and learn afresh and again and again the things that you have in Christ Jesus, it will solve many problems for you. He says, I just find myself, I'm always scared. I'm always not confident. Light can come. And you just find strange confidence. Do you know, this is, I don't, sometimes I want to believe for healing, I don't have faith to believe for healing. It makes me laugh. Do you know that if you study, recently I was studying what Christ did. And I saw how God took me to how he promised as far back as Genesis. He said, if you can learn and it dawns on you, and I made this promise many years ago of the coming of Christ, and I kept that promise, he should encourage you that anything I tell you that I will do, I will do it. I get what I'm saying? If you know what he has done. And so you immerse yourself into knowledge. You come to church, you learn. You are praying. Father, I walk in light. You come to church, you learn. You go home. You get messages. For instance, and I'm going to seize this moment to talk about race of facts. Because we are going to teach a lot along the lines of what Christ has done to the race of facts. And that's why you go for that kind of meeting. You come with your eye open because most people don't want meetings like that. If we put up miracle night, people want to come. They say, ah, miracle, power day. But then, the basics of what Christ has done, we don't want to hear it. What are all these long, long teachings for? Why are they talking to us for 2 hours? What are they telling us? They don't know that they're hearing is what will empower them. You know, I used to work miracles before I got light. When I got light, miracles became my food. Before I got light, I was praying. I could go to the mountain. I would stay. Father, give me power. Power, follow me. It was ignorance. When I finally got light, I saw that there was so much power available inside of me. I learned how to stir it up and release it by prayer. And I began to use it. I know a man that said, oh, he was challenging us. He said, I prayed for power so much that I even went to the mountain and we removed our clothes. We went naked before the Lord. I'm telling you, ignorance can take you farther than you want to go. He said, the Lord saw our nakedness. I'm telling you. And you knew we were serious. Everybody went wild. Aya! I was challenged. I was challenged by the kind of heart they have. I was challenged. They really desired something. But the Bible calls it zeal without knowledge. Are you following me? You need to know. Amen. You need to know what God has given you. You need to know what God has made available for you in Him. And it's by teaching. It's by study. It's by prayer. Throw yourself into learning what God, what Christ has done. Even as you pray. That's why Ephesians 1:17 is a prayer you need to pray always. Father, that I may have knowledge. But you see, after all those things, get to your Bible. Have you ever studied Ephesians 1 or studied any scripture that you've studied before? But that very day, it looked like the scripture walked into your room. You've been hearing it before, but it's like it popped open. That's a epignosis right there. Has that happened to you? It looks like, sometimes you are just teaching in church. You've heard this thing before. Pastor will ask you, say, Jesus Christ. It's like something rose from your inside. At that point, you can now use it. Amen. Amen. That you may know. That's why it's beyond hearing it in church. Go back, study it, pray, study, listen to teachings. Let me even advise you, encourage you, and instruct you. You see, as Race of Fact is coming, one of the things that will help you is, you see all the previous teachings we've done at Race of Fact. Race of Fact 2020, Race of Fact 2021, they're on the website. Go and get them and begin to soak them in this period. Amen. As you grow, in the realization of these simple realities. You know, that's a problem. Many of us think that the things that Christ has done on the cross are basic things that are primary. Let's now go to the secondary things. No. It is primary, it is secondary, it's tertiary. Just that when you get to the tertiary institution, we will still explain it to you using much more scriptures. Maybe the first time we showed you through Romans, the next time we'll show you through Hebrews, the next time we'll not take you to the Old Testament and still show you the same thing. It's the same message. So get to the word. Jesus told them in John 5:39. He said, search the scriptures. He said, for in them you think you have eternal life. Amen. Now, he did not say the scriptures give eternal life. He said the problem is that you guys think there's eternal life in the scripture. He told them, no. The scriptures are actually, their work is to testify of me. The work of the scriptures is to tell you and show you about Jesus. So get into the word and know Bible. That's what I'm telling you to do this morning. Know Bible. For yourself. Get teachings. Stay there. Eat it. I like Jeremiah 15 verse 16. Put it up. I want to show you. Like that verse. Eat it. Swallow it. Chew it again. Meditate. Eat it again. Eat it again. Again and again. That is your greatest need as a believer. He said, thy words you have found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. So find God's word. Eat it. And I chose the word eat deliberately. Eat it. See the way you put food, put rice before you, and you are just putting everything. Eat it. Eat in the morning. Eat in the afternoon. Eat in the night. Listen to a message. At least once every day. Read your Bible. As you are sleeping, put on the message about what Christ has done. Let it play on the background as you sleep. As you are walking, read a book. You see, throw yourself in. That is what you need. That's how Christianity becomes sweet. Are you getting me? That becomes sweet. That's how you find out that you can even, you know, some of you that are passing through, I was praying for people that are having tough times and all that. Some of you that are passing through those tough times. Sometimes you just need to open the Bible and stay there. And light begins to shine in those dark areas. And this unusual peace begins to settle. So, Brother Copeland drove that car to that place and said, take my car. You know what he practiced? Just like when Jesus said, sell your garments and buy the sword. Take my car. Give me tapes. Give me books. Somebody say, what kind of foolishness is that? We are saying that you don't have money. And the small car you managed to buy, you now want to offer it to collect book. But that's where the answer is. Are you getting me? I remember the days that I would go to a bookshop, buy like 4 or 5 books, and trek home because we've used all our money to buy books. My vision that year was to finish everything that E.W.K. ever wrote in his life. So I would go, any more E.W.K. book, bring them out. We'll pack more and more. What happened from the cross to the throne? Mind-blowing book. 2 kinds of righteousness. New creation realities. The Father and His family. In His presence. Are you getting me? Identification, romance, and redemption. We packed. Blood covenant. We packed. You see, the things that you see sometimes in people's life are not a coincidence. Are you following me? They are not. Sometimes you see some of us stand and say, this will not happen. You think all those, some of those things, it comes from the wealth of what we know. The thing don't they shine. You just know that this cannot fail. May your eyes open. I'm putting a passion in your heart to begin to consume materials. You've not overgrown it. Go back. When I was on with W. Kenyon, I discovered another great man. I discovered Joseph Prince. I said, everything this man has written, I'll eat. Everything. Destined to reign.
Unmerited favor. Grace Revolution. Live the Let's Go Life. Benjamin Generation. Hundreds of favor. These books we get eating. Daily. Daily. In that 1 year, some of you know, I read 100 and something books in 1 year. Now I calculate it, that is 2 books per week. Are you getting me? You see, if you seek it, you will have it. I wasn't looking for any car. I just wanted to know the things that are given to me in Christ Jesus. Then we visited Andrew Womack from Grace, the Power of the Gospel. The war is over. That one, the true nature of God. Yet, he continued. Staying full of God. Continue. You see, and every material, even Andrew Fally, have you heard Andrew Fally? The naked gospel. Everything, I just wanted to know, and I'm not talking about you going to, it's good, it's not about learning the secrets of business. Find out what has happened to you in Christ. I said something on Thursday, and I'm going to close with it. I said, before you look for what will happen and what God will do for you, know what he has done for you. If you know what he has done for you, it will be easy to even receive the next things he will do for you. You've heard me say this since again and again. I want you to throw yourself into it. Eat God's word. He said, thy words you have found. I ate them. And thy word was unto me joy and rejoicing. That is that kind of joy and rejoicing that is not forced. It's not the type that comes where you say, rejoice! You say, I'm deliberate about it. That is that part. I'm talking about the type that comes from as you're looking at God's word. You just did not know when you started screaming on top of your voice. The day it happens to you, there's no feeling like that in the world. It's better than ice cream. It's better than ice cream. There's no feeling like that. Sometimes when you're laughing, you still have your issues before you. You still have the challenges there, but light has come. You've seen the answer in your spirit, man. The word has told you what it's going to be. I'm challenging you. Hallelujah. I'm challenging you. There's a fact is coming. Be there. With your full chest. Your heart open. Your pen. Your book. Your expectation. I know pastor's going to minister healing. I know he's going to lay hands on us. But beyond all those things, that the eyes of my understanding be enlightened. That I may understand that a big gnosis will happen to me. Amen. That will be, and that should be your greatest testimony from Grace of Fact. There will be healing, so there will be supply. There will be all of that. But you see, all those things are things that can expire next minute. And the fact that you are healed of this sickness does not mean another one will not come next week. Don't you think so? The provision you had last year, you had another lack this year. The power of God always provides. But I want you to go beyond that point of seeking for things to seeking for Him. Seeking for Him is not actually seeking to have Him. It's seeking to know. So when Sinai sang, I want more of you. Now, wanting more of God is not asking for, Father, I want more. More of God. More of God. No, that's not it. That's not it. You can't have more of God. You already have all of Him. You are complete in Him. But the beautiful part of that song is, the more I know you, that's the message, is the more I want to. It's a prayer to know. So it's just like that prayer Paul prayed in Ephesians 1 verse 17. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Are you getting me? The more I know you.
is the more I want to know you, Jesus.
Sing it again.
The more I know you, is the more I want to know you, Jesus. More of you.
So, we close like this. Psalm 103, verse 7. So, I want to ask you, what do you really want? This verse makes the distinction between Moses and the Israelites. Look at the distinction. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. So where do you want to be? To know his ways or his acts? The church, they don't want to know the ways of God, though. They want to know his acts. We want to see his power. We want to see 10 cripples walk. It is his ways that bets his acts. People that only want to know his acts, they will always remain recipients. I receive. People that know his ways become givers. So we are going to pray for revelation. But beyond praying for that, you will make a decision that you will go and eat God's word. Get to the messages you have on the site. Eat them. Chew them. Chew them. That's how we got here. Chew them. Devour them. 3 in a day. So let's go for a full day retreat on God's word. Eat it. Rejoice over it. Eat it. Eat it. Some of you, you know, and listen about the pig notice. You can never outgrow it. And because that's where the depth is found in God. That the more you are going deep, the more people, what people understand by depth is God showing you different ways, aspect of himself. No. It is God explaining the same thing to you over and over again with better clarity. That's what depth is. It's not God showing you different things. Like what I'm saying? He explains the same thing. He explains his forgiveness to you. You study again. He shows you that same forgiveness in different ways. For the rest of us this year, you will see us talk about God's resurrection in another different way. For the same thing. NLT said, he revealed his character to Moses. But to Israel, he just showed them their, his deeds. So all Israelites had was, Baba divided the Red Sea. That's all they know. But Moses one day said, I don't have time for this today. Moses one day said, show me your glory. You don't know what that prayer means? It doesn't mean show me. When he hears show me your glory, what you understand is Moses saw cloud. No. Before Moses said, show me your glory, friends. I'll close with this. Trust me on this one. Before he said, show me your glory, he has stayed on the mountain with God for 40 days. Do you remember? On Mount Sinai. What more glory can be more than that? Before he said, show me your glory, he has stood before Red Sea and he defied it. He parted. Before he said, show me your glory, he has been seen burning bush. All those things are not the glory of God. Do you understand? When he said, show me your glory, the Lord said, you cannot see my face and live. He said, but I will show you something. Just a glimpse of the glory. Why did he say, I cannot see my face and live? You are in the Old Testament. I will make my goodness pass before you. So when he said, I will show you my back, I will make my goodness. So while he was passing, he began to declare, the Lord, gracious in mercy. The Lord, rich in kindness. So the glory God showed Moses was not power. It was a revelation of his goodness and his grace. But that's why he said, but you cannot see all of it, so I will just show you the back of it. But now we can see Jesus face to face. So when the Israelites were looking for manna, Moses was looking for, show me your glory. Let me see your face. Let me see. I want to understand how you walk. I want to understand the reality that I found in you. So I want to ask you, church sister, what do you really want? We
we are coming to church now. What do you, as you go, what do you want?
It will show in how you attack your Bible this week.
It will show. And I like how some people write to me. Sometimes people write to me and say, sir, are there no more messages on the site? Somebody told me, I've gone over those messages on the site 3-4 times. Sir, upload new ones. Ah, you see, that's a house that is not looking, that one wants to know God. It's not, sir, speak a word. There is a place for that one. But we want to know him. Lift your voice, stand to your feet. Just pray in the Holy Ghost.
The more I know you,
is the more I want to know you, Jesus, more of you.
Sing it again.
Say the more I know you,
the more I know you,
is the more I want to know you,
is the more I want to know you, Jesus. More of you.
Look at this part.
More of you.
More of you. More of you.
Say,
Jesus, more
let's
of
chant
you.
It again. More of you.
More of you.
Chant it, come on.
Hey.
More of you.
Jesus,
more of you.
Say more of you.
More of you. More of you. More of you. Jesus, more of you.
Pray in the Holy Ghost. Just pray. I want to know you. I want to know. I want to know. Take 2 more minutes, just pray. Get back to your Bible. That you, as it, you need to get back to your Bible. Get back to seeking to know. Thank you.
Lord, I want to see your glory.
I want to offer the sacrifice of praise.
Oh Lord, I want
to see your glory.
Well, that was Moses' prayer.
I want to offer the sacrifice of praise.
That was Moses' prayer. Today, the glory of God has been revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. So, we go further into seeing these things. So, make a commitment. Seek to know better. Back it up with actions. Get your Bible. Get messages. Learn. Don't just know about him. Know him. Don't just know about what he can give. Know what he has given. That is what produces true growth. That is what will make that you will not be in church for 10 years. And all you can boast about are the things you've received. How you've received power. How you receive this. It makes you productive. Hallelujah.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.